You ready to receive? I know we give you all the food and the sugar and the candy, but this is what it's all about. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. And Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Father, right now, and if you have something this week that you have done with your gifts and your abilities, this is what we do at church on Sunday before we sing, is we offer all the things that people tell us we were good at, we offer it back up to God as glory to his name. So, Father, everything this week that we've done, and you could say things to him, everything this week we've done, Father, where we've used our gifts and abilities that you have given to us, where we've used resources that you have blessed us with, Father, we bring it back to you today, here in this moment, and we offer it up to you, Father, as glory up to you. We give glory to your name. And we are thankful in this house today that we have a creator, God Almighty. We're thankful that you have given us access to the supernatural, to the things of you, Father. I speak right now that your revelation knowledge will flow in this place. I speak right now that the Holy Spirit has access to move in our hearts. Father, I pray that you will show us things we've never seen. Let us hear things we have never heard. Let us find out things about you that we didn't know. Change our hearts in this place today. Revitalize us. I speak life into the atmosphere. And I speak the light of God to be accessible here and to shine in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Boy, you're a real quiet bunch. You're going to have to loosen up. Because if I've got to take 30 minutes to loosen you up, we're going to be here till 5 o'clock. Because you know before they can plant something in the ground, what they got to do? I'm not a farmer, but I know this much. You got to loosen up the ground, don't you? You can't be throwing seed on top of hard, rock, you know, solid walkway type material. You got to have pliable stuff, right? Yeah. So you got to get your heart, you know, shake up your shoulder a little bit. Loosen up. All right. Well, our topic for this tea, in case we didn't mention it, which I forgot to put in the overhead, and your tickets have it. It's called Bridging the Gap. Well, that could go any way. But what I'm talking about is bridging the gap between how God thinks and how we think. Won't you say there's a big difference? I'm kind of thinking there is. If you ever read anything about heaven, right there's a big clue. Okay? And all year since our last tea, I'll take that off. Since our last tea, we've been teaching in Woven. We always teach a subject matter that leads up to the tea the next year. So if you come to Woven, you're getting prepared for today's message. So all the ladies that came to Woven last year, you're like, got a little extra. Pull it up in you. You might have forgotten. But we talked about the mind, the way we think. Isn't that something big today? There's a lot of medicine to help people think clearly. And that's okay. But the key is, when do we wean ourselves off this stuff and start really thinking how we're supposed to think? All right? And so we went through, and the first lesson I remember was about a mindset. Do you know when you have, when you're doing an experiment, let's go to school, and you do a biology experiment, I don't know what you call it, but there's like a, what is the term? When it's, everything's based off that. Yeah, that word. But there's something that's a baseline, and then everything that occurs is based on that thing, right? So it's like the set. It's what the standard is. And many of us have a mindset that hasn't been changed for a while. It's the same mindset since we were kids. Well, you know how many things have happened since you were a kid? A lot of things have happened since I was a kid, and I'm not that old. There's a significant birthday coming up for me this year, and I find myself speaking a lot about age, which I've never done before. So maybe where's Dr. Kathy? She might have to help me with some of that. My mind might be going to this birthday date I've got going on. But we can pick up mindsets in our life based on our environment. Would you agree? The places you grow up, the people you hang out with, the school you went to, the church you went to, the church you didn't go to, the farm you worked in, the shop you worked in, wherever. We develop things about ourselves, and then those things build on who we are. So many times if you ask somebody that grew up around a techie household, you know, where everybody has a laptop and everybody has a, you know, iPad and everybody's got the iPhone, and then you grow up around, and then you meet somebody that grew up around a farm where they did the hands-on, dig in the dirt type stuff, and you ask that family the possibility of wirelessly looking at a YouTube video while on the farm, they're going to be like, huh? We don't even watch TV. What are you talking about? But then if you go to the tech family and say about sticking their fingers in the dirt, turning up the stuff, and then planting, they'll be like, huh? Isn't there an app for that? You see them? Neither of them are wrong, but neither of them want to change because of the environment they grew up in, right? And what's the factor? There's a fear factor, isn't there? What's the fear factor? The unknown. If you find yourself not wanting to change something, if you really look closely, it more has to do with you don't know something. You got to wake up. I got this bright light shining at me from back there. I'm awake. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. So let's go to Philippians 2 and verse 5. See, look, look. We got the techie family right here. So it says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. So here we have a mindset. Wouldn't that be a good mindset to start with? Wouldn't you say that's a little higher standard? I mean, if you know anything about Jesus, do we know something about Jesus in here? Do we have like a standard everybody knows at least something about Jesus? Yeah. You remember he had 5 loaves and 2 fish? And then how many people did he have to feed? At least. They only counted the men. I guess they counted the bigger eaters, so. So we're talking approximately 15,000 people if there was one wife and one child, which in those days there were more, even more wives. But God had to deal with one thing in the culture at the time. So at this time, he was feeding them. So Jesus had 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he had over 5,000 people to feed. And he tested his disciples. And he asked them to feed them. And they were like, they actually talked about him in the side and wondered if he was like going crazy. He's probably been teaching too long. He's tired. I wonder if Julie talks about me like that. Anyway, just kidding. She's asking us to do what? Anyway, but Jesus, it says, if you read the story, which we're not going to go to all of it, right? That's why I say you know something about these stories. Jesus just asked them what they were going to do, but he already knew what he was going to do, right? So wouldn't you say that's a good mind to have in you of knowing already, knowing what to do? Do you know that you already know what to do? Do you believe when I say that? Speak to me. You already know what you should do. You know why you don't do it?
Fear.
And it's sometimes it could be fear because of what people think. Or it could just be fear because you just don't know what would happen. It's one thing to know what to do. It's another thing to know what the result would be once you do it. Right? Did anybody ever feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish? No. But did anybody ever create a human out of dirt?
No.
No, but Jesus knew how that happened because he was there, right? Yeah. So if you have the same mind as Christ, you can go there. Oh. Can you go there? If we're to have the mind of Christ, there's some people we got to stop thinking like. You know who they are. Do you know that whatever you focus on, that's the direction you're going to go? For example, when I was a little girl in Guyana, my dad would be driving. If you've ever ridden in a third world country, how many have? Lord God, you have faith for life. I lived there and grew up there, and I still have faith for life when I go, you know. So as a little girl, they drive on the left-hand side of the road, and we didn't have any seat belt laws. So I'd stand up in the back seat behind my dad's head. He's driving. I go, oh, my gosh, did you see that? Look at that. And my dad's driving. So I remember at night when we would be driving, it'll look like these cars are coming straight at you, you know, and they're going fast, and the roads are very narrow over there, and there are no streetlights. So you're like, really, wow. So I'd be in awe that my dad would stay on his side of the road. So I said to him, Dad, how do you stay on your side of the road? Look at all those cars. It's like they're coming to you. And he said, the key is not to focus on their lights. Focus on what your light is showing you ahead of you. And I went, oh, that's how he does it. Because me, I'm looking at all the lights like, look, he was almost hitting the car. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm like, ooh, in his ear, by the way, because I'm right behind his head. So I taught my father patience. So the thing is, I did. At our wedding, at my wedding, he stood up in his speech. He included that Fiona is a gem. That's what he told Doug. And she gets whatever she wants. What he should have said is she gets whatever she says. Or maybe he said that. But I get what I say because I believe what I say. And I don't say anything I don't want. I really have to be like out of it and really like not thinking to say what I don't want. It happens every now and then, but I can guarantee you I correct it real fast. Because if I can't say what I want, then how do I expect other people to say that about me? Does that make sense? Did Jesus ever say anything bad about himself? When he always said, I do what I see my Father do, right? So did Jesus say bad stuff about himself? I mean, let's think. We should really think about this. When the Pharisees would always accuse him, did he say, you know, get his disciples together. Guys, let's have a conference. These people keep saying that I'm a wine bibber. I am a blasphemer, right? And they call him all those names. I think they even called him a liar. I remember, yeah. And he'd be like, so what do you think? Am I showing signs of these things, guys? Think about Jesus with his team. Did he do an examination party to say, let's just make sure I'm on the right track? No. And yet the Bible says he had no sin, right? Did Jesus have no sin? That's the only way he could have been the sacrifice for us. So we know that Jesus not admitting to the things that people thought about him was not sin. Do you understand what I just said? He wasn't thinking more highly about himself than he ought to. He was thinking exactly like he should. This is what happens to us. When we start thinking something good about ourselves, there's this little thing in your head that goes, well, you better not think more highly about yourself than you ought to. Right? That's where a lot of people get stuck. Because it's like, well, you're self-promoting. No, you're actually normal. Because that's what God said about you. Right? So if God called you to be a certain thing, shouldn't you try to be the best thing of that thing? When Solomon was building the temple, did he look for the, we'll go with the middle of the road guy that could do this type of work? What did the Bible talk about? How many of you know the story of Solomon building the temple? Didn't he look for the most skilled? Right? He actually had guys that lived far off, and they had to come with the boat and the logs and all this nonsense. Then there was this big dispute. They didn't get paid enough and all this crazy stuff. You ought to read that. The Bible has like these sagas like you won't believe. But Solomon, all he ever looked for were the more skilled and qualified, right? So that means these people had to have some kind of confidence about what they were doing. He didn't hire any, well, I'm not that good at it, but I'll try. He's building the house of God. Do you think that's what he wants in there? It'll be more like, once you get it under control, you can come back, and then we'll put you to work. But for now, just go ahead and build. You see what I'm saying? But for some reason, I don't know if it's just this area, maybe it could be, or it could be other areas too, because I've seen in other places, the more you down yourself, the more pious you are. Am I wrong? The more you don't talk good things about yourself, the more pious you are. But how many know that's not the truth? The truth is, we should say who we are in who? In Christ. Because without God, nobody is anything. You're not even a human being without God. Did you know in Psalm 139, you could put that up for me, Les. Psalm 139, I think it's 16, where it talks about God knitting us together. In our 139, Psalm 139. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which, oh my gosh, this King James stuff is like, wow. Anyway, basically, there was a book written about you before you were born, and all the days of your life were written in this book of what you're supposed to be. When you get here, because God put choice and will in you, you get to choose whether you want to live the book or not. Has anybody never heard this before? It's okay, you can lift your hands if you never heard it before. Isn't it awesome to hear it now? Oh my gosh, I got this revelation when I was in Guyana, 4 o'clock in the morning, we were doing a youth conference, and I got up and I told the youth, and I said, I want to know the end. This is when I was just starting to like be bold. At the end of your life, when you die, and people see the book God wrote about you, would it be a fairy tale? Or would it be a biography? They were all staring at me like, oh. Our biographies were already written. And we could choose to live it, or we could choose to just let it be some story that never got lived. The good thing about God's books is they can, you know, adjust to how our lives go and bring us back on track. But aren't you glad to hear there's a book about you? You're not some like, oh, oops, this, you're an oops. I heard this lady talking about heaven. I don't know what you believe about that stuff or not, but I believe in heaven. And she was describing that one of the things she saw when she was in heaven was, and I've heard other people say this, was that there are spirits, like, you know, human spirits flying around the throne going, send me, send me, send me. They want to come to earth. And the Lord revealed to her that in order for anybody to come to earth, they would have first had to say to him in heaven, send me. So you all said, send me. Because remember, God doesn't do anything against our will. So for people who want to kill themselves or don't think they have any value on this earth, when do you think that changed? It wasn't when God had his hands on them. Because they were begging God to come here. I was begging God. I thank God every day and I say, thank you, God, that you brought me to earth. I'm so glad I'm a living being. I know that sounds weird, doesn't it? But I'm thankful because I get to participate in God's plan. I get to help him do what he wants to do here on earth. Does anybody else feel this way? You're all staring at me. It must be my purple dress. I should not have worn purple. I'm going to put a yellow scarf on. That's what I should have done, is a yellow scarf. Who's got a yellow scarf? Okay, this is the main thing I want to talk. Does anybody have a yellow scarf for real? I do? Look at the yellow. Look at the yellow. It's okay. It's okay, Daddy. It's okay. Look at the yellow. Do you see the yellow? Here is what I want to really talk to you about today. Now you're all laughing. This is good. The ground is loosened up. When God created us, he created each one of us with a deficit. Breathe and think about it. And it was on purpose. Why do you think it was on purpose? We need him and we need one another. And he sends the people that we need. Yeah, isn't that great? I got that two nights ago and I went, oh God, please let that still be the message. Please let that still be. Because I get messages and then by the day of, it's all changed. I love that message so much. I was like, please let that still be the message I have to give them. Oh, please. Well, he didn't change it, so I'm giving you a message. You know how the devil will come now and he'll say, see, you can't do that because you're not good enough because you're missing this. Well, guess what you get to say now? I am missing it. That's right. I'm not good enough by myself. That's the whole point. But it doesn't mean that the assignment was not the right assignment for me. See, you got to stop separating who you think you are and what the assignment is. If God gives you an assignment, he's given you an assignment. You don't need to ask any more questions about it. The assignment has been set. That's not going to change. The only questions you now have to ask is, God, can you reveal to me who you've put to help me? Or what resources do I need to use? Like, should I use my laptop or should I use the big old PC? Should I use the television or should I use the VCR? Do they even exist? You see what I'm saying? That's the questions you're going to ask. Not, should I really do this, Lord? That's no longer the question. He already asked you to do it. You all have deficits. I got major deficits, and I love when I discover what they are. Because then I'm closer to getting stuff done. Because guess what I do? I go looking like, oh, who's got what I need? Who's got it? Oh, I search like you don't even know. And when I pray about it, God gives me a face sometimes, like he showed me Nancy's face. I never saw Nancy dance ever. I didn't even know she did. I think she does normally, right? It's probably been a while, but God just opened up her ministry again for dancing, and you better take it. Do you see what I'm saying? But Nancy's deficit would have been a place to do it. I had a place that needed it done. She had the dance. The song you heard, the by the way, did you know I was reading the poem in the beginning? Okay, good.
Yeah, right, right.
I was thinking about doing the thing on the thing to change my voice, so you know.
We knew you.
I was like, that's too much work, and let's get it done. But I had this knack for writing poems. So while she was practicing on Thursday, I think it was, while she was practicing the song, I knew we wanted to do something in the beginning. I was writing the poem. By the time she was done practicing the song, the poem was written. How many people could do that?
No, I can't.
But listen, you don't need to know how to do that if you know somebody who knows how to do it. Do you see what I'm saying? I, in no dream of mine, would ever see butterflies doing that. But I don't need to know how to do that. We have somebody that knows how to do it.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Here, do you want to know why? You want to know why I have a deficit? Ask me why. Because you don't get the glory. God will get the glory.
Amen.
See, Satan is all about making sure God doesn't get the glory. Even if he doesn't get the glory, he still doesn't want God to get the glory. Because none of you would ever say, give the glory to Satan.
No.
You wouldn't. Nobody would actively say, I'm going to give, there's no way on this earth I could ever convince you to give the glory to Satan, can I?
No.
But if you just withhold the glory from God, he's all right with that. I heard this pointed out and I thought, oh my God, this is like incredible. Do you know that Satan, when he had iniquity in his heart and he wanted to be God, He didn't want God to leave heaven. He wanted to put his throne above God. He still wanted to use God for who God was, but he wanted to be the ruler. Doesn't that sound like what he tries to do with us? Because guess what? He can't do what we can do. So he still wants us to be where we're supposed to be, but he wants to be in control. He wants to be above us. Where is he supposed to be? You better make sure that's where he is. I never talk face to face with Satan. Why? Because he don't qualify to look at me. He's supposed to be under my feet. If I talk to Satan, I should be looking down at him, not at his face. Right?
Right.
So if you want examples of this deficit thing, Jesus himself, who we know was perfect, right? Jesus wasn't missing anything. But he was here to teach us how we should live. So he taught us how we needed people. Didn't he have disciples? They were always doing stuff for him. Could you imagine that team? Jesus never planned a thing. He went off like ancient plans. Like if they didn't know the Old Testament, they need to get a clue, because this is what God said he was supposed to do, so they better read up, because sometime it's going to happen. He just never said today is when we're going to feed the 5,000. You remember they were having the conversation about like, he wants us to do what? Go into town. And so somebody like Julie would come give me logic, like, Pastor Fiona. So somebody had to say, well, Master, you know, even if we had the money to take the time to go into town, like explain to him how things work. And then he explained to them the ingredient. They were using the wrong ingredient. What was the ingredient that was necessary? Faith. What does the Bible say about faith? Without works, it's dead. That's a good one. Without faith, it's what? Impossible. So if something's impossible, what does that mean? It ain't happening. It doesn't matter which way you turn the thing, it ain't gonna happen. You see what I'm saying? It's impossible. It requires faith for things to become, but things can change from impossible to possible, right? With an F word. You're not going to forget that now, are you? With the faith word. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing what kind of words? The word of God. The word of God is that you have deficits, people. There are things you don't know how to do that God's going to give you an assignment that needs you to have that ingredient. And you're going to have to start looking at the people around you that you can pull from to include them. How many of you have found that to be true? Think about the successful things in your life. Has it involved other people?
Yeah.
And then you go, well, why didn't I know that? It's on purpose. It's a good thing you didn't. Think about all the glory you'd be bringing to yourself. This is just, oh, I'm having issues. All right. So, first of all, I wore a dress that didn't have a waistband. So we improvised, and now it's falling off my ear. But John the Baptist, he came before Jesus as a forerunner, right? We know the story of Jesus, Mary, the mother of Jesus. When she found out she was pregnant, what did she do? She went to see somebody, Elizabeth. Wasn't that a great help? It was a great help to Elizabeth, and it was a great help to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Think about being the pregnant teenager. Immaculate conception, sure. The Christ child, uh-huh. You see what I'm saying? But the two of them had what each other needed. What relationships do you need in your life right now that Satan has put a wedge in? Because he knew if you strengthen that relationship, he is toast. We live in a culture where we have so many tools and so much technology that we pretty much think we don't need human contact anymore. Won't you say? Yet it's the human beings that has put in us, that God's put around us, that have that missing thing. They're the ones you need. You are not perfect. But unfortunately, a lot of people think that about themselves, but you think it in a, you think it as a downer. I'm not perfect, so I'm not going to try anything. Nobody is, and it's on purpose. So this strive to be perfect in yourself is just, it's useless. You're going to spin your wheels your whole life trying to be perfect. Now, when I say there's relationships around you that you need, I have to say the other part. There are relationships around you that you must cut off. You have to. Because whatever tools God used, the enemy has the same counterfeit tools too, right? So guess what he's going to do? He's going to send people, right? Who did Jesus have? Judas, right? He was drinking the wine with them, eating the bread. Communion, boy, he's taking communion. But he's getting paid off on the side for information. Here's how you recognize people that you should cut off. Wouldn't that be great? So you make a list today. I need to cut you off. Fiona said. Okay, here's how you know who you're supposed to cut off. Every time you bring up God's assignment in their presence, they mock it. In some way, you know. Right? Clue number one. Now, examine to see if they're doing that because of a lack of knowledge. If they're doing it because of a lack of knowledge, that means they don't know any better. Or if they're doing it because they're operating diabolically by a kingdom that's not of God. Okay? We are all people who can give access to the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light in our life. We have to choose. At any point, you remember Peter, who had the great revelation that Jesus was Lord? You remember that? And in the next verse, read it. In the next verse, Jesus had to look at him and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." How horrible. Read it sometime. When I saw that together, I went, "Oh my God." None of us are immune from that. You have to, this is why, here's a good way to never let the kingdom of darkness work in your body to do its thing. You constantly give glory to God for stuff. You're always giving glory to God. So even if Satan's trying to do something through you, he's like, I want him to get the glory for my stuff. He's selfish. Think about all the things, like a tantrum, you know, it's mine, it's mine. So you give glory to God for all the stuff. We started doing this in our church before worship every Sunday. I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not warming anybody up. We got to warm ourselves up. We got stuff we need to be thankful for. So before we start singing, we start thanking. And we bring the stuff to the church with our words. And if somebody complimented, "You're so pretty. God, you made something great. Here you go. Get the glory for it." Amen. You see what I'm saying? It's a good habit to develop in your own life. So it keeps you clear from all that pride. Okay? And you could really accept a compliment because you know where you're taking it. No, people have it like, "Well, it's okay. That was such a good job. You know, oh, well, thank you, you know. It's the Lord." Aren't you glad you came? Listen, you accept it. Say, "Thank you. I appreciate that." And you bring it and say, "Lord, thank you for giving me the gift that you gave me, that I could do that to touch someone, to give, to have them give a response. They responded to what I did with your gift. Thank you, Father. Here's the glory." It's our responsibility to give the glory to God for what he gave us. It's not somebody else's. So we don't throw it back to them. "But it's the Lord. Here. Tell him about it." Oh, I'm stepping on your toes. I wore sandals. You can step on mine. But listen, be confident in who you are with all your imperfections and start looking for people to help you. I am so not the detail person. Oh, if you only knew. So I have Julie, Miss Detail, which I'm so thankful for. When I first met her, I was like, "Oh, God, I know I need her. What do I do? Because it was like, you know, she's very detailed, and she's like, so Pastor Fiona, you want me to do this, this? And I'm thinking, wait, she's going to do exactly what I tell her, but I might change my mind. Because this is what I do. I'm really good at that. I don't like to be tied down and boxed in. Oh, my God. So over the years now, I don't know how many teas have you done. How many teas have you done?
I've been here for all seven.
But how many have you helped?
Six
years we've been doing this together. Well, she also helps with Woven. So Nadine is part of the Woven team, you know? And Nadine and I are similar. So Julie, we were like, oh, God, help Julie. Because she's got two of us now. But then we added Dottie this year. So we're even. Miss Dottie back there, she heads up our kitchen ministry for the church. Every Sunday here at church, we have food. We love food around here. And she heads up the kitchen ministry. So we have two detail and two like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. But none of us are bad because we don't have the other thing. We're all good together. So when we do a Woven thing, man, it's great because we all had something to do with it. Amen? You need to start finding the people in your life that can make your thing great. Make the thing you do great and give it back to God as glory. Don't give him some mediocre thing going, well, God, I'm doing the best I can with what I have. He wants you to do what you have with what you have, but go find the rest. Go build relationships. You're going to have to build relationships. You're going to have to. You can't get out of it. This is a lost art. We only know how to text. Hi. LOL. Tata for now. TTF whatever. Da 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 da. So you see each other. Ha. TTFA. Da da da. You're like. And we miss that the person needs our encouragement today. We're like TTFA. LOL. Ha. Smiley face. Smiley face will help everybody. This smiley face. So even when you have to confront somebody in a text, you were late again. Smiley face. Instead of saying, you know, one of my deficits is I don't like when people are late. Listen. God... The first thing God did in the Garden of Eden, when he created mankind, once Adam and Eve were created, what did the Bible say? Read Genesis, you'll find out. He came in the cool of the day and wanted to talk and walk with them. Don't you think God had the ability from heaven to like text them, send down frequency alerts, mind messages? He didn't. He came physically in their presence and talked with them. And he walked with them. They went on walks together. Oh my gosh, what a lost art. I want you to realize you are totally in deficit in some area. And it's completely normal. And that's what makes you perfect. To have a deficit is to be perfect. If you feel like you don't have a deficit in what God asks you to do, then there's some man-made thing in that spot that's not from God. You have to break the barrier of not letting people in your life. Isn't that the number one thing? Fear of rejection. I just wrote a book about fear. I found out it's like the number one thing. People are afraid to speak up here. Why? Not because they don't have anything to say. Why? Because they don't want anybody to reject what they have to say. If you saw your faces earlier, you'd be scared too. I realize half of you have never met me, so you're not sure what on earth she's about to say. So I understand the stares. It's okay. I'm all right. But I am totally okay with all my imperfections. I love them. Because I know they're there. They don't bother me. I interrupt people when they talk. Oh my gosh, I do that so much. Sometimes I go, Fiona, would you please let the person talk? And then I found out the way my brain thinks. By the way, if you never read this book, it's called The Gift in You by Dr. Carolyn Leaf. Oh my God. Did you know everybody's brain thinks in a fingerprint? Everybody's brain thinks differently, uniquely, like a fingerprint. And some people, so in order to process a thought, like everything I'm saying now, you're all processing a different way. Some of you who have to say something back to me, it's normal because that means you're getting the thought. If you stayed quiet and had to sit quiet the whole time, you're not going to get a thing. It's pew. So I'm one of those people, like when somebody's talking to me, I talk back to them because that I'm processing their thought. I'm actually listening to them. So if you're ever talking to me and I'm not saying anything, be very afraid. I just gave it away. That means I'm not really taking in what you're saying. I found the other way is everybody learns differently. Some people need to move to capture a thought. So we discovered that's how my son is, Gabriel, because he's constantly like, well, he's a drummer. And so the thing is to find out how you think and to make sure you can still do that without bothering the person next to you. So for him, we know he has to move to learn something, but then the people around him don't want to be banging and like, ooh, you know. So we're teaching him and bringing it to his attention every time he's distracting everybody else while he's taking, I'm learning, but nobody else is. So, but these are all things when we learn it about ourselves, we don't beat ourselves up because of it. We actually rejoice in it like, wow, I just found out that I actually need to move to learn something. This is so cool. Or I need to talk back like, hey, so you mean da, da, da. Yeah, well, so I always interrupt people. So in case I interrupt you when you're talking to me, you'll be very happy because I'm like getting it. Anyway, did you learn something today?
Yes.
What are you going to do from this day forth? Nothing? I did all that for nothing? Listen, do you see how busy you could be? Do you have time for depression if people are accessing your gift from you? You ain't got time to be in bed going, nobody likes me. Oh my God, what am I going to do? Because you're like people are pulling on you for your stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're making yourself available. People are scared to come ask people to do things because they're like, they never talk. I don't know. Do they talk? They look like they might know English, but I'm not sure. I don't think you have a problem knowing I talk. But the thing is, break the barrier of the unknown in yourself. If you know people normally don't like coming up and talk to you, you go talk to them. Break it. Quit thinking about what they're going to think about you. They're still going to think about you whether they talk to you or not. They're still thinking about you. You're there. Slap the devil in his face, people. Quit having him knock you around all the time. Let the mind of Christ be in you. The same mind that was in Christ Jesus. He did things with all the stuff everybody was saying about him. He did it. And then he died on the cross for us sinless. He was without blame. Isn't that awesome? And so when we have an assignment from him and he asks us to do something, we can do it. All right? All right. So I want to pray for you. You want to be prayed for?
Yes.
All right. Do we have Mr.? We got the guys. You know, guys got to help us because stuff happens all the time. And Les is going to play some music. And what I want you to do is I want you to say to God that I want to receive whatever I need to get my mind in line with Christ's mind. Isn't that a good prayer? And I'm believing that when I lay hands on you, that you will receive whatever fix you need to be restored to your rightful thinking about how you should think about yourself. Now, there's something that I've learned, and that is that whenever God breaks something in our life, we have to be able to change one habit or two so that the cycle doesn't keep going. So when you leave here today, whatever habits you have about relationships, think about them and break something. You might not get to break all of them, but break one thing. That might mean making a phone call to somebody you'd never talked to. Okay? But whatever it is, don't go and do the same thing you would do. Like, just don't go close yourself off. Put yourself out there and do something you've never done. Okay? So, we'll come up in stages. And just if you need prayer, just come on up and line up here. I'll pray for you. And then the next layer of folks can come up. I think we've done it before where this wall is pretty good for that. And I'm going to pray for you now. And I believe that you can receive. Amen? So let's just pray. And as you want to come up, come on up. And I'll lay my hands on you. Father, we just thank you for today, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you have answers for us. That you have things for people in this place. That you're fixing things in us, Lord. I thank you, Father, that we are being restored to right standing with you, Lord. That we can see who we are is perfect in your eyes. Lord, I speak to the women right now, and I say that whatever has been blocking them in their lives, it's released right now. Holy Spirit, I ask you to move in this atmosphere. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I speak to our minds and our thinking that any block that's been holding us back in life, that it would be removed right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, this is your opportunity if you want to be prayed for, because I believe that things could change in your life. So come on up. Don't just look at me. Come on up if you need prayer. And God's going to move and change things for you, because that's why he's here. He's here to move. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. I believe, Father, that your anointing is present to adjust things. I speak that every woman in this atmosphere will fulfill exactly what you send them here for. There are no broken assignments anymore. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Father, for your anointing. We thank you for your anointing, Father. Hallelujah. Yes, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, that we have the ability to receive. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray over Ella right now, and I thank you, Father, that her time is not over, but it is restarting a new season in her life. We stir up the gifts in her that you have placed in her from before she ever even came here. Everything in her that she said, send me to do, she gets to do, Father. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We stir up the anointing. We stir up the gifting. We stir up everything that's ever been pushed down or crushed. We bring them back to life with the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. We break everything that has been crushed. It's new again in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We stir up. We stir up. We say strength is renewed like the eagle. We stir up this body and we say gifts and abilities are being brought forth. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for your finishing work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your finishing work. Hallelujah. You want to come up a little bit? Thank you, Father. Oh, we thank you, Father, for your power, for your healing power, for your restorative power. In the name of Jesus, this body is made whole and quickened. We speak quickening right now. In the name of Jesus, yes. We speak quickening and life and light in this body in the name of Jesus. Oh, we speak life in this body. Life and light. We stop every diabolical attack of Satan. We stop all of his glory getting. We curse every sickness and attack from him. We speak life and light from the throne of heaven. We activate and access healing power. Healing power. Oh God, restore the vision in her life of what you call her here to do. Let that become her focus. Let that become her focus. Oh Lord. Shift, shift, shift. Enough attention on the enemy. New attention on God's power. Yes, Lord. Father, we thank you for breaking any mindset that has caused any parts of our life to be stuck. We unloose it right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, let your anointing be activated, stirred up in her. Oh, Father, send her the right people and show it to her. Boldness, boldness, boldness. Oh, Father, any mindsets that have to be adjusted, let it be done now. Let your anointing break any mindset that's not of you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, you know her heart's desire. And, Father, we pray right now that every way she's been doing it that hasn't been the right way, that you will adjust and you will show her the strategy you had the whole time. Father, let any time that's been lost be redeemed. Oh, redeem all the time again, Father. Newness of life, newness of life. In the name of Jesus, now we break cycles and habits. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, Father, let her see it's not too late, but it's early enough. Oh, Lord, all of her giftings and abilities, we pull it forth. Hook her up with the people that need what she has. And hook her up with the people that she needs what they have. Let there be a divine connection and anointing that destroys yokes and bondages. Let revelation knowledge come to her. And I break anything that's in her that she's been carrying that you have not put there, but she thinks that she has to keep. We break it in the name of Jesus. I deposit in her your light and your life for this time. Oh, we stir up rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, let your anointing destroy yokes and bondages and let her abilities shine. Oh, God, the people you put her to help, let them receive and let her receive the help. We break cycles. We break intimidation. We break lack of confidence. I speak bold as a lion. Bold as a lion. We break habits that have been causing condemnation. We break those habits. I clear her cells out of any memory of them. And I speak to her mind that it has a reset from heaven. Oh, let your anointing do its work, Father. Let your anointing do its work in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for strength. Thank you, Lord, for strength. Oh, let your anointing be released. No fear. No fear. We break fear right now in Jesus' name. Restore unto her. Restore unto her years, Father. Years, dreams. Oh, Father, restore to her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you continue to give her the boldness and the words and the information she needs in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you can break cycles and give new revelation. We speak that the anointing of God breaks yokes and bondages. And Father, this mindset has changed to have the mind of Christ. Let her activate the help of those you put around her and let her cut off relationships that are damaging her life in the name of Jesus. We speak freedom to every cell in her body. Father, we activate the gifts and abilities you put in.